Hello, lovely podcast people. Welcome to the first ever wisdom podcast on training. I call it wisdom because it's not my specialist area, and I want to be clear on that. But obviously, it's an area, you know, I did my strength and conditioning specialist certification right back at the beginning of my career. I have worked in gyms for, I don't know, maybe 5 plus 6 7 8 plus years since I was young in my early career, and obviously love training. It was an area I thought I might try and specialize in, but then nutrition became more of my passion. But I just thought I'd just give some insights. It's more of a one, personal journey insight, but two, a critical thinking insight that might be helpful for you. So this came about because I did an Instagram story that essentially I said my arms, when I was competing in bodybuilding, were arguably my worst body part, kind of like smallest, most disproportionately small. And, you know, they're currently like a bit of a joke topic because I now have quite good triceps and sort of disproportionately good triceps, maybe. And, I just make a joke out of posing them. Some people get triggered. There was that dude on, you know, your arms are average as fuck. Get over yourself, bro. Just getting triggered by me. Just making a joke. You know, I know in the grand schemes of bodybuilding, they're rubbish. But, you know, again, in terms of just being someone who doesn't take any of this stuff too seriously anymore, they're okay. But my point is my movement from point A to point B. And, you know, people are sort of like, oh, I can't believe, I don't know how you deal with that. That really knocked my confidence. Can't believe you deal with such negativity. Like, geez, I could not care less. I don't know why people care about what random people on the faceless, most of the time, people on the internet, fake accounts. You know, it just says much more about them. Even when people are getting angry on your nutrition posts or just like, oh, they're just projecting. They're just jealous or don't like that you're sort of confident to speak on that thing or whatever. So, yeah, just a encouragement, just to ignore them. It doesn't matter. Like I just said, oh, focus on yourself, bro. Sorry if something in my being has offended you or made you jealous or made you feel inadequate. Like, that's not my intention. So this scenario of my arms, it's more my movement from A to B. Like sometimes people say, oh, I don't think I can be a nutritionist. I haven't got a six pack. You know, I don't look the way I need to look. I'm like, forget that. You will bond with someone. Someone will see something in you, in themselves, that you've been able to go from A to B, that you're able to identify with them, that, you know, all these different things. Yes, some people are led purely by looks, and I'm trying to change the industry a little bit in that way. But at the same time, there's others that aren't. There'll be people who are your tribe. If you clearly just don't care about nutrition and you're just saying, do this, and you're doing something else, you're not authentic. But if you have some of the same issues that they have and have made some progress and they can learn from your progress, fantastic. So that's kind of why I'm doing this in a sense, and not saying this is the be all and end all, but I was misled. And I guess I'm talking to the maybe younger people, I don't know. I guess I'm talking to my younger self, but there'll be loads of you in a similar position. But let's say you want to change a body part. And this is mainly size and getting bigger. And sorry, this doesn't relate to any organs or mammary glands or your height. I can't change those. I get those DMs and I'm just like, how can I increase my height? And I'm like, oh, geez. So I made my arms bigger is the point of this podcast. And one of the things that I'd been misled with, it was like not training them directly. There are certain pockets of the internet where it's like, do compound lifts. Compound lifts are the best. If you're limited on time, compound lifts. And there may be some areas where that is the case, but very much my training went from away from all of the compound lifts and maybe just supplementary compound lifts here and there. I wanted bigger arms, and yet I wasn't training them directly. And so this was just a thing of like, again, do you want bigger arms? Do you want a bigger bum? Are you doing loads of squats for a bigger bum, but not doing anything extra to increase the volume? So I will post a link to some of the research in this area. around volume, because there's lots of stuff coming out, which is good in terms of the number of sets per week we should probably be aiming for in that region. And there will be individual variances based on your genetics, but also your training age and these sorts of things. But, you know, some people like hitting biceps directly with like maybe 4 to 8 sets, because they put them on the end, you know, it's back and biceps, and they'll do their back session, and then they'll do, well, I can't, you know, I've done some bent over row, and I've done some lat pull down. I don't need to do much more for biceps. I've done my deadlifts, whatever, which doesn't particularly hit biceps. And then just throwing on, okay, well, I'll do, you know, three sets of 10 on this bicep exercise, 3 sets of 10 on that. Or just like, I'll just do 1 set of 4 on EZ curls, whatever. And not training them directly. And yet we know that the volume that you need to train a muscle group. So again, you can, if you want your glutes or your quads or whatever, you can apply this across the board. The other thing just with regards to this, so a big change I made was I started training them directly. For lots of you, just like, geez, simpleton, obviously, cool. Well done you. I then started training them more frequently. So I was in my very, very early years just doing a body part split once a week. And so I was only hitting a body part once a week. And probably there's some benefits to be seen from hitting a body part more than once every 7 days. There's higher level discussions you can go listen to and read about on the internet of whether or not just total volume is the key factor. But again, trying to get 20 sets in a body part into one session can be difficult, is difficult. Do you have the mental capacity for it? So I ended up training arms essentially 6 times a week. Give or take, for instance, like biceps Monday, triceps Tuesday, biceps Wednesday, triceps Thursday, with different focuses in the sessions and sort of undulating the intensity that I was using, but slightly more frequency, which I sort of have a little bit. I don't know who in the industry would go like, yeah, that's fact, and who would go, that's bro science, bro. But people like, the frequency thing doesn't matter. And I'm not well read up on it enough, to be honest. But my thinking 10 years ago was that our body part recovers within sort of 48 to 72 hours. Muscle protein synthesis and the augmentation of that with regards to stimulation from amino acids, like feeding protein, is back to baseline by like 48 hours. So I want to train that body part again. And saying that out loud, I'm like, geez, I would be interested in the retort to that. The retort is probably, well, no study's shown this exactly. It's like, mate, don't be too evidence-based. Don't go there. We don't have all the studies that we need. If we've got some logical reasoning, you need to say exactly why it's wrong, or it remains on the table as a possibility. But anyway, I could be wrong, and I'm completely open to being corrected. But really, I don't care. This is more a wisdom episode for people to go and just make some changes or some considerations or do further reading and exploration. But what it does do, if you train more frequently, let's say you hit arms, biceps, let's say, twice a week, you can just half the total volume and do it in 2 sessions, but then increase the volume a little bit and you've got total greater volume over the week if you weren't hitting these sort of optimal, quote unquote, optimal levels for hypertrophy. You know, who's making the best gains in the gym these days, in this day and age? It's women training glutes 3 to 85 times a week, with kind of 15 sets up to, I don't know, 5 billion sets per session. But they're just making gains. Like, you don't see guys in the gym going like, here's 2 years training progress, and it's like, pow, they've doubled in size. But you get females with 2 years training progress and they have literally doubled the size of their glutes. It's insane. And how have they done it? Like, specificity, training them directly and heavy, getting strong. I think I actually wrote that down somewhere. Yeah, strong, not just a failure. That was my one extra point that I pondered today in the gym. And they're making these amazing gains. So if you're a guy and you want bigger arms, Get strong on bicep movements, manage fatigue, manage injury risk, get strong, train them with directly and with adequate volume. Again, if you're someone trying to get your legs bigger, bum bigger, you can apply all these principles. So my final thing, which was a pondering today, is just I feel like there's potentially a bit of an obsession around mechanistic data. So if you're not aware, there's been some studies by people that I sort of consider peers and friends and people I look up to, like Professor Stu Phillips, which show, which if we train to failure on a body part, there's a, I can't remember the year of the study, but essentially training with 30 reps to failure versus a heavier weight and lower reps, giving the same muscle protein synthesis response. So it's kind of like, oh, oops. Oh, look, it was going to tell me something and I clicked it. I should have read that. Hey, Siri, repeat. Let's see. Ah, it's not going to do it. That's annoying. It found some stuff for me. Oh, now you're playing. Oh, it's all going horribly wrong. Anyway, so where was I? I feel like there might be a tendency for the industry to now go, doesn't matter on your reps, doesn't matter on getting strong. You can just train in any rep range, just train close to failure. And I think we're too premature in doing that. Don't be premature. No one really likes premature. Niche. So we have fallen foul to making big leaps of faith from mechanism to outcome in the past and lots of different things. And so it might be that in the very early days of training, when you're getting newbie gains, and we do see this, like newbies can just train one set to failure and they get the same results as like multi-set training programs, periodized multi-set training programs, because they're newbies. But once you get a bit more advanced, like we're not talking an advanced trainer, just having trained a muscle group in the gym a bit, things can change. So if we start looking at, again, muscle protein synthesis, if you're not looking at the whole 48 hours and then looking at over a week and then tracking like cross-sectional area changes over a month or two or three or whatever, we're missing a lot of the picture here. So that was my other thing. Just don't, I feel like people need to be a bit, this is just stuff for you. If you see a trainer now posting this stuff or an exercise specialist posting this stuff, ask that question. Do you think rep ranges matter? Not at all. Do you think strength and the intensity doesn't matter at all? It's just purely a factor of volume and training to failure. What is the data on this? Or is it purely based on mechanistic data that looks at muscle protein synthesis after a single session of leg extensions to failure at 30 reps, 30 rep max, and see what they say? Ask the question. Anyway, I'm keeping this one short. That's literally it. Just some musings, just some thoughts. You know, in 2 years, my arms are now in line with my physique, I think. Triceps, maybe slightly advanced. And those are my things that I changed in my training. Cool. Until next time, much love.